Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I have one of my good friends here, longtime listener, first time, not host, but first time guest. And his name is Dave Todd, the guy with, what, three first names if we put it in?
Yeah, I mean, you can, anything can be a first name these days, so sure, we can do three, whatever.
Dave Todd, the two first name guy, and he has requested one of my favorites, Captain and Coke. But you're a diet guy.
I am a diet guy.
And yep. I'm a regular guy, but sometimes I put diet in. And you actually brought your own cup along.
I did. It nice is a I've gone through, this is probably like the third drinking cup that I have. The first one was like those teeter kind of plastic acrylic whatever of mugs. I drank, that was Bear's one that my mom gave me. I drank out of that one for a while. Then we got a bigger like a stainless steel one from Champions.
Sure.
Got that for Christmas somewhere down the road. And then Danielle gave me, my wife, Danielle gave me this one for something, Father's Day, birthday, Christmas. I don't think I'll get in trouble for not knowing.
That's okay.
which one it was.
As long as you acknowledged her.
Right, exactly. It's been a couple of years with this one. And yeah, so this is the one now.
Also, you better give a shout out to your daughter too.
Yeah, my daughter Harper, she's five. She was very excited to, thinking she was going to be spending the night at Gamma's house tonight, but that didn't quite work out, so she'll just be partying with us later.
Well, and she's probably going to be very excited when she sees you up on the TV next week.
I imagine. She loves whenever we turn on like Monday Night Raw or SmackDown or something. Yeah. She's like, oh, is this the wrestling with Daddy in it? I'm like, no. That's a dream long gone, sweetheart.
Well, you know what? I'm going to bust open this. Bust open some Captain and Coke.
Alrighty.
This is one of my favorites. I love Captain. Now, I've always liked Private Stock was always my favorite, but...
Yeah, and it's funny, too. You've kind of always been a Captain guy. I was more of a Bacardi person, and it was just all, if I, uneducated, had no real clue what I was actually getting, so it was just like the Bacardi white or, whatever, clear. And the night of Bachelorette party... Go ahead.
For which one?
For Danielle. Not
for you guys?
For Danielle and
okay,
I.
Okay, I didn't know if you were talking about mine or
no,
yours.
No, not yours.
Okay.
No, I knew a little more what I was doing back then. by the time we got to Bachelorette party, we were leaving Champions. Champions Riverside Resort, Gillsville, Wisconsin.
Shout out.
Shout outs. No free shout outs. Sorry, Brett. one of my cousins is either Don or Dan. I was like, oh, you want anything like that? And I was like, sure, what do you got? And they just handed me one, and it was Captain and Coke. And so I never really realized how much better spiced rum is.
Oh, yes.
So that made all the difference, and I'm like, holy crap, I think I got a new drink here. So
yeah, I didn't really realize that there was anything different when I was younger. I just thought it was all spiced rum.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden I get a clear one. I'm like, ew, this is nasty.
Yeah,
tastes like tequila.
That's the stuff I was drinking for a few years until I, came upon this. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's way better. So I make them a little bit stronger now. I did tell you earlier I do the counting technique.
Katie was talking about last week. Okay, let's start counting.
It's not the cleanest technique. I do more count the glugs than I do counting actual 1, 2, 3 seconds. So it's a little heavier pour than it used to be.
How many glugs are we going for here?
So the counting technique, the way it was taught to me by a previous, we'll call it endeavor that I survived.
Previous endeavor.
Was.
Oh, she listens.
I thought about that earlier.
She probably has no idea what's going
probably
on.
Probably not.
That's
okay. But it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Should be like your count for a shot if it's got like
perfect
one of the stopper tops.
Yeah.
So I will do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I always make it a double, but I'm counting glugs, so it might be a quick, it might be a long. It's usually somewhere around the lines of 50-50.
We'll find out.
We'll see here. So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
There's no 7, 8,
9, 10, 11. Yeah, that came out quick. There's no glugs there. That was
no glugs, no plugs.
We might be one during the show.
That's okay.
Do we want to hear?
It's okay. We have a softball party coming up anyways here in 2 hours.
Yeah, we'll just get a head start.
So get a head start.
Here's the Diet Coke.
Yes. Ooh.
I'm learning. The longtime watcher, listener more so.
Yeah, more so. But now you're going to have to watch this one, obviously.
Yeah, well.
Because you didn't even know what the brewski shot really was. And now, now you're going to find out.
Right. I mean, I had an idea what it was. I had the reference from, what was the?
Out Cold.
Out Cold. That's the one.
But so I don't know if Justin got that because isn't there one on like, isn't it, it's like a beer movie and I can't remember what it was. Like they do like a beer Olympics.
Oh.
And it could be on that one. I don't know.
Beer Fest.
Yeah.
With the guys from Super Troopers.
I feel like that's where he got that from, but I can't remember because he did tell me, but it's been, I don't know, a while ago.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Go Cubbies.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Oh, yeah. That's perfect mix. How come you like diet? Is it just health reasons?
I don't know. My preference, just drinking just the pop or soda, whatever you want to call it, is Diet Coke. For whatever reason, I've always felt like regular Coke has more of like an aftertaste to it that I could do without. That being said, you flip to Pepsi, and I'm a regular Pepsi, not so much Diet Pepsi.
Oh, so that... See, I don't like the flavor of Diet Coke. It just tastes chemically, but I know it's got like zero everything in it, so I know it's much better for me because looking at the back of the can of Coke, it says 140 calories, so that's quite a bit. And it's all pure sugar.
Yeah, I don't really look at the back of cans or anything. I just... Whatever. If it tastes good, it tastes good. That being said, like Coke Zero, I would still prefer that over regular Coke, too.
Really?
But that's kind of the middle ground.
See, I always thought Pepsi had more of a richer flavor. This had more of a tinny can flavor, but that's just me.
I felt like I could always feel Coke, like regular Coke, like on my teeth.
Ugh.
The sugar.
Sounds terrible.
Not great.
So you got a Cubs cup, huh?
I do, yeah. Okay. I have Cubs, yep.
Now, for those who are out there... Yeah. Oh, the shirt. If you're watching,
this way. Mongo here, Brett. If you want to see what people are wearing, here we go. Brett, if you want to see what people are wearing for the episode.
Okay, so Mongo. first, hold on. We'll get to Mongo.
Okay.
You're a Chicago fan, true and throughout.
Across the board. Yep.
Okay. So how did that become? Like, because you literally were born in Winona, right?
Yeah. Born in La Crosse, but okay. You know, born in La Crosse, raised in Winona. So my dad grew up north of Chicago in, I always get to mix it, Glenbrook, Illinois. So it's like 40-ish minutes, I think, north of Chicago. So
sure.
That's where the Chicago connection comes from. Mom grew up in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. So there's nothing to cheer for there. So it's
well, the Iowa Cubs.
Well, also tied to Chicago.
Right. That's so, what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, okay. Yep. Might be
so,
it.
So that's where the Chicago comes from. So we're Bears, Cubs, Bulls, and Blackhawks.
Okay. So the reason now there's obviously two baseball teams. Nope. Your Cubs, nope. Probably because your dad grew up on the north side.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I kind of figured. The White Sox is the south side, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So you're a Cubs fan, baseball, basketball, obviously the Bulls. Lucky you.
Well, but I mean, I wasn't, you know, I kind of remember the last three-peat because I know they beat the Sonics for the last game the day Michael turned 1 year old.
Perfect.
And, you know, then obviously I remember the two against the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
First three.
See, now to me, the Bulls represent pop culture in the 90s.
Yes, very much so.
No matter if you remember the first three or even the last three,
right.
You are part of history. And then Blackhawks.
Yep.
And then Chicago Bears is the only one. Okay. So now my next question was this, and I was thinking about this. If you had to only be able to watch one of those sports, you couldn't cheer for any of them, what's the one that you are going to cheer for? If you had to say, okay, I'm a Bears fan, I'm a Bulls fan, I'm a Cubs fan, I'm a Blackhawks fan, which three are you dropping and you can only watch one?
I would only watch baseball.
Only baseball.
Baseball is my first love. You know, obviously, it would go Cubs, Bears, and then I don't know. Hawks and Bulls is kind of a toss up.
Okay.
I've never really been super into either one of them. Obviously, I watched in the 2000s or 2010s when the Hawks won three in five years. They won 2010, 13, and 15. Actually, in 13. When we were in Atlanta, I watched them.
I remember
that. It was like the two goals in 17 seconds or something like that where we beat the Boston Bruins.
Okay.
Watched that alone in our apartment, just losing my mind by myself because you were making cookies at the hotel.
Yes, working overnight at the hotel. Didn't they play the Wild that series or one of those series? I thought they did because it was like a big deal.
I don't know if they played them that one or not.
I just remember the Wild were kind of in there somewhere. I thought they played the Blackhawks in one of those. Someone out there will tell us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably
I wasn't.
You actually. Go home and research.
I'd go home and research. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention nearly as much like through the regular season because you know, we're in Atlanta, we can't really watch it.
Yeah.
You know, even here, the only time I was really able to watch is if they're on national TV, or I'd go over to Cuso's house,
sure,
mom's neighbor, and watch with him every now and then.
Okay. So, you know, first love is baseball. Where's the love of baseball come from? Because, I mean, growing up, and you can think about this if you need a moment, which you probably don't, but growing up, it was always basketball, baseball, football. And I never got into hockey. One, still not into hockey, but everyone tells me I got to go to a game, got to go to a game, and you will realize why hockey's so awesome to watch. I did go to a semi-pro game in Austin with Steph last spring, winterish.
Okay,
it was cool. It was okay, but I didn't get the excitement yet of that. Baseball is one of those sports, I think, if you're watching it in live, it's way better than on TV.
Yep.
My favorite thing to watch, but not my favorite thing to play, is football. I like to watch it. I like to play it. My favorite thing to play is basketball. Watching it is probably my second favorite thing. So you're big into baseball. What gives?
I don't, like I said, baseball has just always been my first love. Maybe just, you know, I might have some connection to going and watching dad play softball.
Probably.
You know, that kind of things. I mean, he played football at Winona State, but obviously I wasn't around then.
Sure.
The majority of my life, the Bears have sucked. I guess, you know, kind of the same with the Cubs too. But
well, I can tell you this, though. You have more memories of any championships than I do. That's with true. Minnesota, because.
Well, you got the Lynx.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, WNBA wasn't even cool then until about, a few months ago?
Something like
and
that.
And so, the Twins won in 87, and I was like 2 or 3-ish months old when they won that. And then 91, I was 4, still don't remember that. So,
I wasn't even around for the first one for the Twins.
So, well, that's true, but you wouldn't have any memory of the Bears.
Nope.
You remember them going to the Super Bowl in 06.
06, yeah.
But you have some possible memories of a 6 championship thing with the Bulls. Mm-hmm. And then the Cubs won in what, 16?
16, yep.
And then the Blackhawks won, right?
Had their 3.
So you have some, oh, yay, I have something to cheer for.
I've got some good ones. I definitely do. Yeah, the Super Bowl in 06 was a heartbreaker. It was such a bleep tease, I guess, if you want to call it that, with, you know, Hester taking back the opening kickoff.
That's right, I remember that.
It's like, oh, my God. Like, I thought there's no, you know. We might maybe have a fighting chance against Peyton Manning, but when Hester took the opening kickback, I said, holy shit, this might happen. But yeah, that went away quick.
But then that Super Bowl, I believe, had one of the best halftime performances with Prince. Was that correct?
Yeah, that was Prince. Yep, Prince.
Okay,
Miami.
So there was that.
Yep, that was good. That was good. I think by that time we knew it was over. So you know, it was the rain was apropos for how I was feeling at the time.
You were crying.
But, yeah, pretty much. But yeah, we did. You know, did get the 3 from the Hawks in the, you know, 2010s, which was cool. It's not really anything. You know, again, they were horrible for years. They had kind of a little bit of a run, I want to say mid-90s, kind of like the Bears had. Mm-hmm. I think 95, the Bears were decent. But it's not really because it was never really on TV. So, like, the Cubs for decades, generations, were on WGN.
Yep.
Every day. So I watch Cubs games in the middle of the summer.
That's right.
Anywhere. That's why it's one of the reasons there's so many Cubs fans all over the country, because everybody could see it. While the Blackhawks were not. Their owner, I don't know if that was Rocky Wirtz, if it was his dad at the time, was like, oh no, we don't have enough people coming in to watch the games. We're not going to put them on TV.
Yeah.
That was a pretty dumb decision. Did not work. Your team sucks. Nobody's going to come to the games, pay the, you know, jacked up fees for everything.
Sure.
Might sit at home and watch it that way, but yeah. So yeah, the, you know, the Hawks, the Bulls were on WGN for a while. I don't know if they are or not. I think they might be on Comcast now.
I couldn't even tell you because everything's internet based at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't even know.
Yeah. But so yeah, they were, I don't know. It'd take them or leave them. but then, you know, I guess the Bears are, you know, even now we have to buy a Sunday ticket, or I have to somehow steal it off the internet and get pissed off throughout the whole thing.
Don't say that.
Not steal it off the internet.
You
That's a terrible thing to do. I did pay for it every time and get mad because, you know, the feed would get interrupted or, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's baseball has always been the one. Football, I love. Obviously, love the Bears. There's, you know, one of the deepest connections, you know, with. You know, with my dad and with Chicago, and just because that's the one he still cheered for.
Sure,
was the Bears, probably because they had the most recent championship that he really cared about.
Right,
football, but yeah, for me, it's baseball. It's, you know, the Cubs. I get more excited for opening day of spring training than I do for like the first regular season game of the year for football.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Which is probably stupid, but
well, I know a lot of people that get excited for that. I mean, Ted was on, and he goes down to this Twins spring training. A lot of people love that.
Yep.
I don't know if it's just the excitement of the it's about to happen, because I don't get that excited about preseason of football.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm like, well, third, fourth string. People are just trying to get on the roster for one. So yep. You know, some of these guys might be practice squad people. And for two, it was like, oh, back to school's happening too.
Yeah.
Which also wasn't that exciting.
That too.
But, you know, but baseball is like the sign of summer's coming. So, yeah. And then we obviously, our dads played softball. And I suppose that's where that love comes from, because my dad used to pitch to me all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But basketball was really my big love. And I don't know if it came with the culture and I like rap music and hip hop and all that. Maybe that's where it came from. I just thought it was always, you know, the whole Michael Jordan thing was just awesome. And Shaq was there. And I don't know. It was just the coolest time in basketball. I feel like the 90s was. And their uniforms are sweet. And those jerseys, those champion jerseys were amazing.
Yeah. Wow, the championship, the champion jerseys, and like my all-time favorite All-Star game jersey is the San Antonio teal ones.
Yeah.
Those were so cool. I love those. Even to this day, those are awesome.
Those were so awesome. Uh-huh. Those are amazing. What was that, like 95, I think it was? Somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in the
teal,
like 96
orange.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, those are awesome. Yep.
Those are sweet. I love those.
When you were younger, and I don't know, when I was younger and you get a champion jersey, you were like just pumped to show it to your buddies the next day.
It was like walking in with the new, if you got the new for a while it was Logo 7, but then the starter jackets.
Oh,
those are sweet, too. Everybody had to have a starter jacket.
I know, and that was the thing. Like, I never wanted any of, like, the Minnesota teams because I just thought purple and gold and white was kind of, And I remember I just go based on whatever the colors was. But I think everyone had a Charlotte Hornets one.
A Charlotte
one
Hornets one. Yep, that's what I was thinking. like the teal and the purple, yep.
Yes, everyone loved it. Even Bulls ones, though, were pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
Even those black, red, and white, which is kind of basic, but the Charlotte color was just...
I actually had, I have no clue where my mom got it. I had a Phoenix Suns one. So the purple, the orange, I had one of those.
Were you able to pick it out or
nope.
You know, 'cause someone just bought it for you or your mom?
I don't know if she got it like a coworker's kid. Oh, they grew out of this. Here you go. You can have it. Or if she bought it.
Yeah.
No idea.
I think I had two or three growing up. I know I had two for sure. And I got them based on colors.
Yeah.
I had a Denver Broncos one because it was orange, blue, and white. And then I had a New York Jets one because it was black and green. And I love black and lime green as a color combo.
Yep.
So I know, because I remember I got it and my grandpa goes, what the hell you want that for?
Yeah.
I go, I just like the colors.
Grandpa Gray?
Juice.
Oh, juice. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What the hell you want that for?
Okay. Because I got, thinking back to our, you know, baseball time together, I've got a Gray story that's kind of funny, but we can get to that.
I got one, too. If it has to do with your car that you had, yes.
This one did not have to do with my car. Mine was not at all car related.
Well,
I remember the one that you're talking about.
Yes. I distinctly remember this champion jersey I got. It was the black and red Bulls one.
Yep.
And I was in second grade, I think
the pinstripes?
Did not because it was just the it wasn't the authentic.
The authentic, yep.
And I was like, I'm so pumped to show my buddies. It was Louie and Brad that day. And I'm like, I got the black and red one because when you would go there in about 96, they just had, it's at JCPenney's.
Yep.
I remember in La Crosse.
Yep,
and
up
they
on the
had,
wall.
Yeah, a plethora of the 96 USA ones, like Anthony Hardaway, Hakeem Olajuwon, O'Neal. I'm like, gosh, those are like
Grant Hill.
Did you?
Yep.
Those were like a dime a dozen, and I'm like, who cares about that? And then all of a sudden the black and red one came out. I was like, oh, I can't wait to show my buddies. And then in third grade, I was gifted enough for my birthday. And my dad got me the authentic Shaquille O'Neal blue with the white stripes on it. And I used to call it my itchy shirt. Brett will remember that because I would put it on and it was all stitched.
Yep.
And so it was all itchy. I'm like, oh, this is like my itchy jersey, but it's so cool. I got to wear it.
Yep. Absolutely.
So I remember that was mine.
Yep.
Do you have one that you were like, this is the one?
God, do I have one? I had like the regular red Jordan jersey.
Yep.
I had the reversible red and black Jordan jersey.
Oh, I remember that.
Yep, the reversible. Yep. Mine actually might have been the new logo Kevin Garnett jersey.
Ooh.
I had that one. I also had a white Marbury.
Yeah, the Marberries.
Yep.
Those are awesome. Those the authentics are even better because the stitching had
the trees.
Had the trees on it.
I got you.
You know what another one that was good? And I think Brett had this one. It was the white 45 Jordan jersey. That was sweet because they only made it for like a half a season.
Right.
And so that was really cool. And I think Brett came to school with that. So I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Okay, now what's the story with Grant Gray? So, for those who don't know, Grant Gray is my dad's dad. He's passed away a couple of years ago.
Nope.
So that is Juice is my other one, which is my mother's father. So if we say Gray, Grant Gray, we're talking about one grandpa. Okay, what is this now?
So I can't remember if it was, I want to say it was Legion Ball. And we're in between games of a doubleheader. And I was supposed to catch the second game. Unfortunately, I had to make a trip to the bathroom. Not a number one.
Of course not. Pee in your cup. That's what it's there for, right?
Something like that. So I'm in there, and I'm like, man, this is kind of taking a while. All right, let's go. I got to get ready for the next game. And all of a sudden, I hear a knock at the door. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, they can wait a little while. I hear the knock, the turn to a, all right, they're getting, you know, I agree it's taking a long time. And then you know, a few more minutes go by. And I hear, I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was something along the lines of, hurry the hell up in there. I'm like, who the hell is outside yelling at me? Like, you know, clearly they didn't, it could be anybody. It could be a little girl. It could have been Hep. It could have been you, anybody. I'm like, who the heck is outside the door yelling at me? I'm like, I'm a player. Just leave me alone. I got stuff to do here. I got things to handle. I open the door, and sure enough, Grandpa Gray's standing there.
Like, did he know it was you in there?
No clue.
Not until
no
you came out?
Yeah. I don't even, like, even when I walked past him, I didn't even know if, I don't know if I'd seen him enough times.
I had no idea that story happened.
Oh, yeah. That was so funny.
No wonder you love baseball so much. Yeah. Gosh. Oh,
the great Alexander was pitching that day.
Such a classic song. Great Alexander is pitching again. I'm talking baseball. Something.
Who the hell cares? Anyways. Just had to do the extra wind up when we're playing catch.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so your big love is baseball, obviously. And that's, if you had to choose one, it's watching the Cubs over everything else.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, you have a championship that you remember then. So 2016, lucky you.
Yeah, that was that was more of a relief than it was a joyous occasion. I'm like, please God, don't blow it again. And we almost did.
Around that time, didn't the Royals win too?
The Royals won the year before.
It was like a weird time of just these teams that haven't won in years, all of a sudden just winning.
Well, and it was – so the Giants won in 10, 12, and 14, so alternating years.
Oh, geez, you know 16. All that?
Yeah, well, because that's the route we had to go through.
Okay.
So we beat the Giants, which theoretically going on the last five, six years, this was their turn to win again. This was their alternate year. We went through them in the first round. What is it? Division series? Something like that. Or division championship. Then we went through the Dodgers.
Okay.
Who were also very, very good that year. I don't think Bellinger, that might have been his rookie year, so he might have won the rookie of the year that year.
Sure.
I think he won the MVP the next year maybe. But we had to go through them. So I think we lost one game to the Giants, lost two games to the Dodgers, and then we get to, to your point, we get to what's now the Guardians, the Indians. They haven't won.
They're always the Indians. They're not the Guardians.
Agreed. They haven't won in forever either. So we've got I don't know if it's in all of American pro sports, but it's the two longest droughts in Major League Baseball are going up against each other. And it's like, oh my God. So we start out the first game, and I'm pretty sure we lost the first game. We won the second. This is in Cleveland. I'm pretty sure we lost the first game, lost the second game, won the third game. So now we've already got two losses. We go to Wrigley. So it was 2-3-2 was the series. So we lost one, go into Wrigley, lose the first two. First games at World Series games at Wrigley Field since like 1945. Lose the first two, win the third one. So now we're down 3-2. Go Cubs go can be heard from miles away. I will never forget they did, from a blimp or helicopter view, and you can hear on the helicopter audio, you can hear them, singing Go Cubs go. It's what song they win or sing when they win.
Okay. Harper loves that song.
I imagine so, if you're teaching it to her.
Right, exactly. That one, and she loves Take Me Out to the Ball Game and the Bears Fight song, too. But Danielle isn't thrilled with that one. But yeah.
Well, she's a Packer fan.
It doesn't happen very often, so better luck this year, maybe, hopefully. but, yeah, so we win that one, and we're headed back to Cleveland now. And this is where is the one time for me that I was happy that the All-Star game decided who had home field advantage in the World Series.
Oh, that's right. They used to do that, didn't they?
Right. Yeah. Because we now had Kyle Schwarber back, who had been out basically the entire year with a blown ACL, busted his butt to get back, watched thousands of pitches, curveballs, off of the pitching machines to get ready to come back and play for this. So we're back in Cleveland. We win game six. I think that we walked away with that one, I think. And game seven, we start out with, I think Dexter Fowler hits a home run, and we're kind of off to the races. We got one out of Javi, one out of David Ross in his last game ever, and there were some interesting decisions. Went into extra innings, which I always said my perfect World Series is Cubs versus Twins. Cubs, because the Twins are my second favorite team. I did grow up in Minnesota. Sorry, no real love for the Vikings, but whatever.
But see, it's different though, because Cubs and Twins aren't in the same division, right? Or even they're.
And nor are the Bulls and the Timberwolves. Blackhawks and Bulls are, but they're Wild were around for a while.
Correct.
But so we going into Game Seven, and we do go into extra innings. So like I'm just, mind you, for. Since we won game two, I've been wearing the same Cubs t-shirt, the same pair of jeans, the same Cubs hat, getting the same Chicago-style deep dish pizza from Papa Murphy's in Holman after I do the same workout at BeFit in Holman. Everything's the same.
Well, I can only imagine what your underwear smell like.
I was not wearing the same underwear. I knew we were going that way. I was not wearing the same underwear.
Well, socks.
Nobody can prove it, but I'm telling you I wasn't.
You got to prove that one.
Agree to disagree.
Just stinking for over a week.
I don't think I have not washed that t-shirt since. I haven't worn it since either, but I haven't washed it. So all the, all the same juju is still there.
All the juju.
But or juju, sweat, stank, grease, whatever, whatever comes with it.
Just the juice.
Right.
All right.
So, we get to game seven, we get to extra innings, and I'm just like, oh my God, we're going to screw this up again. We got all the way here, we're going to screw it up again. We go to extras, and our shutdown closer, Aroldis Chapman, who we bought from the Yankees at the trade deadline, was for some reason left in for a second inning, which he I don't think he had ever done that year. Gives up, I think it was a game tying home run. And I'm like, oh Christ, all right, yeah, all right, whatever. And so that sends us to extras. Then we have the infamous, depending on which side of the aisle you're on, 17-minute rain delay.
Okay.
So the heavens open up, from the side of the winners, and I guess that's where all history comes from, is the side of the winners. The heavens open up and it rains, and they bring out the tarps, maybe because it's the Cubs and the Indians, and they're like, we don't want any kind of curse, whatever, one way or another. And Jason Hayward gives his famous players only, F the manager, F these people, F these people. We're the players on the field. We're going to do it for us. They come back out and we end up getting on top, staying on top. And, Joe Buck, who so many people hate for his football commentary, calls, the ground ball to Chris Bryant. And he kind of slips as he picks it up, but he's smiling as he throws it over to Rizzo. And says, oh, it's going to be a tough play. Oh, the Cubs have won the World Series. And, Rizzo, ball in the pocket, everybody loses their mind, and I'm just in disbelief. Like, not even, overjoyed, happy, just say, oh, thank God.
And that was your feeling of, thank God they finally won.
Exactly. Thank God we didn't blow it.
Well, that, too. Yes. So. Well, I know that is, being a Vikings fan.
Yeah.
So they choke a lot.
I mean, I was cheering for you guys in, was it 2009, 2010?
That was a sweet season. That was a cool season. That was a good one. One of the other ones I remember is the 98 season when I'm like, we drafted Moss. I told my dad, we're going to this. We're going to go to the Super Bowl with this guy. And he's like, who is Randy Moss? And I'm like, this is awesome receiver from Marshall.
Yep.
And we were a field goal away from going. But whatever. You know,
Do you ever watch How I Met Your Mother?
Nope.
So one of their characters on that show is from Minnesota.
Oh.
And so on one episode, they go back to his hometown and they're in like some Viking bar and it's like, oh, wait, just say Gary Anderson. And she says Gary Anderson. And like, God damn Gary Anderson. They all lose their minds.
Yeah, I know. But it shouldn't. I mean, yeah, games like that come down to it. But he didn't miss a field goal the whole year, I believe. And that was the one he misses. And then it sent us into overtime, I believe.
Did it send you into overtime? Was it against the Falcons.
Yeah, I believe it.
It was the Dirty Bird Falcons with, was it Jamal Anderson, I think?
You'll look it up next week. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, so now you're big into baseball, obviously. Now we play softball because, we're older.
Very much so.
Yep. We played a lot of amateur ball together. That's kind of where, I would say, more of our friendship started then because...
That's where it took off again.
Yeah, because we were friends throughout high school, a little here, a little there. But then I remember after my first year of college, I got a call from someone here in town for the coach of the amateur baseball team, the Chiefs, and I was like, yeah, I guess I'll play, whatever, you know, and you were there, and so then we were the only two that were from our school still playing, and then we eventually transferred over to the St. Charles Sting, had some fun there. It was always like, it was just, it was fun. It was good times for sure. Like, we'd go to a cage if we could beforehand. Yep. We were there before everybody else trying to play, and I remember we were the only two that I can remember still playing baseball.
Yeah.
For like 10 years past high school.
Nope.
I played one more year when I moved back from Atlanta. We'll talk more about Atlanta, but I played one more year. And we had a lot better success than we had with the Sting, where my dad was playing sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Your dad, Jeremy's dad. Playing in jeans.
Yes, that's right. Jeans. Yep. I remember I was at one of an ex's birthday, and I got called. They're like, we only got 8 players, and one of them is Jeremy's dad.
Yep.
Is there any way you can make it to this? And I was like, all right, I'll be there. Needless to say, she wasn't very happy, but it's okay.
Yeah, well.
Anyways, doesn't matter. I'm not married to her. But anyways,
Only the one you're married to matters anymore. Yeah.
And I remember I came there, and Jeremy's dad was the 9th, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's playing in jeans in the right field.
Yep.
That was rough. And then I broke my thumb that one year on a fastball that came and just popped it. And then I remember I sat in the booth and actually announced for one of the games, and
I don't remember that one. Did you really?
I announced with my – no, actually, I sat next to my dad, and he announced. I think I took book or something for the – I think I did the scoreboard. Maybe that's what it was. Anyways, I was out for one game because I was like, you know what? There's nothing I can do for a thumb.
Right.
You can't, like, fix a thumb. You know, there's no surgery for them.
If it's not, like, crooked,
Right. All I did was tape it up. I go, you know what? I'm just going to play the next game. Yeah. Like, what's the chances of that happening again?
Right.
And then I remember we also had our summer league basketball, and I was like, well, I'm going to keep playing that. And all I did was just tape it up real thick. So if it did get hit, at least it wasn't bad. But I remember I broke my thumb, and I was like, it was during that game, like, oh my gosh, my fingers started getting cold. Then I started getting a little bit of a stomach ache, and I'm like, oh crap, I think I broke it. And then I would like touch it, and it was like spongy. And I'm like, I think it's probably
broken. That's not supposed to be like that.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be that way. So now we play softball.
Yeah. Well, and it's a funny story, too, just to backtrack to our freshman year or year after freshman year of college.
Yeah.
So I was playing, I was playing baseball at Waldorf, and I, kind of getting toward the end of the season, coming into, into summer, I'm like, what am I going to do for the summer? Like, I want to play somehow, somewhere. And it's, I called my mom, and I think my mom actually called your mom, and she mentioned, the manager called Chris, asked if he wanted to play for, because I think he worked with your mom maybe or knew her somehow, but
no.
Vicky's like, oh yeah, well, Chris is doing this, and my mom relayed to me and like, yeah, absolutely, I'm in, sure, let's go.
So. To be honest with you, I know the Chiefs are a long time standing amateur baseball team here, Woodbat League, but I don't ever remember really. I mean, I read a little bit about them in the paper, didn't think much about it, didn't really know what it was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they called, and I'm like, oh, there's amateur baseball in the summer for adults. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, just I had Travis Acree on, and there's now that you know about it, It's all over the country.
Right.
It's everywhere. So that was, I mean, it was a fun time. It was long days. Because remember on the weekends we played double headers?
With the Chiefs we did, yeah.
Yeah, that was like an all day
event.
Was it
Saturdays and Sundays?
And Sundays, yeah, yes.
So four games a weekend. And I think we did like Wednesdays or something maybe.
Yeah, and each game was like 2.5 hours long. Because it was nine innings.
They were nines.
Yes, they weren't sevens like when you're in high school and stuff.
Right.
In college, they're seven, too, aren't they?
When they're doubles, they're sevens, yep.
When they're doubles, okay. So, yeah.
At least the level I was playing at, yeah.
And they might have been sevens when we were playing doubles, but it was, like, a long day. I just remember we would travel an hour, and you and me always wanted to get there an hour beforehand so we could throw to each other in the cage, get ready. And then you had the infield, outfield stuff. Yep. And then you had the three-hour game, and then the travel back home. I remember it was, like, a 5-6-hour time.
That
like,
was all day.
And then, eventually, as I got older, I played one year when I came back with a tremor. We had a little bit more success then. And then after that year, they fold, and I'm like, I think I'm good. I don't think the MLB is coming to recruit me.
And that was the year that I was going to start playing again, too.
Yeah, Jack Karnick is the one that got a hold of me. He's like, hey, you still want to play? I'm like, yeah. He's like, can you catch? I'm like, I can do pretty much play anywhere you need me to. I mean, catching is not my first ideal spot, but I'll do it, and I can do it.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not going to probably throw out a whole bunch of people, so I'll just try to stop the ball and do as best as I can. And we actually, I think, went about 500, and I think I batted like 325 or something like that. Nice. So I was like, I can still do it, but I go, the MLB is not coming to recruit me, and that's like my whole summer was just done.
It was a bit more of a commitment than you wanted at that point.
Especially, I mean, if I was like batting 600-700 and the MLB is like, got scouts coming to see me. Okay, I'll keep playing and hope. But that wasn't happening, and the river sounded way better. Yeah. And softball, because softball's only like an hour long.
Yeah. Well, and I think
and you can drink during it.
Yeah, there you go. That too. I mean, maybe we could have maybe drank, in amateur ball if we put it behind
the
dugout.
They wouldn't have even cared because we were their ninth and eighth people there.
Yeah, that second year with the Chiefs. Yep, it's absolutely was the that was the catalyst for change, because I'm like, I got 2 years of college ball left. In my opinion, the politics of I started basically every game our first year behind the plate, and the second year somebody was available who was not available previously, and he got all the time. So,
well, I remember same thing, bad experience. Mm-hmm. If he's listening, it's fine. But I remember I was warming up just before the game started, and someone rolled up in their truck just like 5 minutes before game time.
Yep.
And I was cut from the roster that day and sat in the dugout until I think I had one DH in the ninth inning when we were getting blown out or something like that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's that.
Yep, the pinch hit and the the
that was
bottom of the ninth, top of the ninth, whatever it might be. Yep.
It's all good, though. I mean, pieces of the past now.
Exactly.
Anyways, but now, so now we play softball, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Both of our dads played softball, so we grew up at the softball fields quite a bit.
Absolutely.
And we just won a championship, and that's why we're here today, is because we're about to have a championship party in an hour and a half.
There we go. Got plenty of time.
So, okay, so then you used to watch your dad obviously play softball when you were younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did I. Yep. Now, I notice when you go out to softball field every so often, I feel like you're a superstitious guy. Am I wrong or am I right?
I would like to say I'm a little stitious and not quite superstitious, but I'm probably somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
So I know exactly where you're going.
Mildly stitious. Okay. Right. So what are the things that you do?
So baseball in general, I try not to ever step on the lines. So you always see me kind of hop over the foul lines. But what I'm assuming you're getting to is when I get out to my position, I will give the kiss, go to my heart, sign language for mom, sign language for dad, which now after my mother-in-law's passing has the double meaning because she is now up there as well with my dad.
Okay.
So mom, dad, give a look. I'll come down here. This one is new too after Jake and after Gizmo for us in the same week. I looked up what is sign language for dog, and it's something along the lines of hitting your leg and snapping.
Oh.
So that's just always kind of where my hand went was down here. But it's okay, well, we'll add that and snap, and that's for dog too. So okay. I got a whole bunch of crap to remember. But
plus the game.
Yeah,
plus the game.
Exactly. But on top of that, where it all kind of started.
Hold on. Before you do that.
Got it.
For those who are watching, just do what you do.
Okay.
To recap, do it real quick.
So just kiss the heart, sign language for mom. This is obvious, is I love you. Okay. So this technically is mom, this technically is dad, but combination there, look up to him, snap for dog.
Okay. Now go on.
So, kind of, you know, it all kind of ties to my injury history as well. Snap. Here's, we can look at a little piece there. The screw on my necklace was in my ankle for like 5 years, I think. So when we were, you know, our senior year, about halfway, the fourth game of the year, second play of the game, that year I played 2 games in 2 plays. I got horse collared, snapped my leg. So that was it for football. Our coach at the time, Casilius, told me he was getting calls from Division II schools. I had already committed and basically decided I'm going to Waldorf to play baseball, partially because I was sick of getting my ass kicked every Friday night. And
our football team was rough for what was it, 6 years of zero wins?
Something like that. Yeah. It was not good. Despite one great play, was it our freshman or our sophomore year?
Best play ever written up.
Yeah, there we go.
By us too.
Not even in the books. It's unofficially the best play ever.
It's basically a backyard football play.
Exactly.
How'd that go again?
So I came and, you know, gave whatever the play call was to everybody else, and as we broke the huddle, I'm like, hey, Chris, just run. I'll throw you the ball. And sure enough, hit the, you know, 3-step drop, put the ball in the air, dropped it right in the bucket. Perfect catch by you in stride. You're gone.
Yep. And the funny part about that is we only had 10 on the field, and Owatonna had 11 on the field.
Yep.
And we still got the touchdown out of that as on one, Chris, just run. I'll throw the ball. And that, and all I did was just do a straight. Yep. I just went as fast as I could, and you threw it, and it was like, perfect.
No offense to you, you're not the fastest guy in the world. So how the heck that D-back got burned by you, it was just work perfect, is –
Listen, I'm not as slow as you may think. I'm not as slow as you think, damn it. But yes, I'm not the fastest guy in the world, nope. But I just ran. Maybe you thought I was going to cut in. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
But it was just a straight, what do they call it, a flag pattern? I don't even know what that was.
Just fly.
Fly, okay. Yep. Well, all I was called is just
a fly route, nine route. Yep.
Okay, so just a fly.
Yep. And the irony that was against Owatonna, and Owatonna is where my football career ended as well. Was against Owatonna. Oh, yeah, that's where the injury happened.
They're pissed about that still. That's what it was. They're pissed.
Gotta be. Yep. Gotta be. They're holding it against us the whole time.
3 years later. Snap.
Yep, exactly. Oh, but yeah, it is the movie scene, everything goes silent, and I just heard, and then I was described to me by teammates as a wave of profanity was the next thing they heard, which lines up because I was letting them fly. So
makes sense. You still swear.
Yeah, well, it happens. But lost football to injury. I've blown out a knee. I've, you know, almost lost, you know, at least 1 year to another knee. I, you know, broken bones, this, that. I've lost football to injury. I can't do basketball because my knees are garbage. I can't play baseball because, you know, I'm barely hanging on to play softball. So part of all this, you know, saying hi, thank you, all that stuff is because I'm just thankful I get to go out there one more time.
Sure.
Because, yep. You know, I know that's how I convinced Danielle to let me play 35 and over softball, so play 3 nights a week instead of just 2, is like, I know better than anybody. This can be over literally, again, like that.
Snap of a leg.
It's let me play while I can, and when I can't do it anymore, you know, hopefully, I'm hoping, praying that I get to walk away when I'm, you know, and not be like forced, you're done.
Right, yeah. So. That would suck. When you're on the worst team.
Oh, and wrestling
the worst
too. Wrestling is kind of gone because of the knee too. But.
Well, but that though, we can stage if necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, the ring is obviously more bouncy.
Right. It's more me. It's more me not really trusting to work with anybody but you. So
you heard that, you know, Dave and I could have a match. So I'm just saying, we've done it a couple times at the Black Horse where we had like 130 people filled in there
just to
watch us.
I was thinking about it earlier today. Like my last actual match was that horrible tag match we had at Butterfest. That was just.
That wasn't your last one, was it?
That was my last that I was like actually active.
No, we did
one
at Champions, didn't we?
We did one at Champions, but that was after I already blew the knee. I hadn't had surgery yet. So that
so
was
you
where
were just
we got
there as a decoy.
Right. It was the run out because we came out and did the, you know, playing to the fans and all that stuff in the beginning of the show. We had the run out by the two guys that were great to work with. It was awesome working with them. I can't remember their names. One Ruben Torres, maybe, I think. I don't know if he'll ever see it, but you know, they came, did the run out, jumped us, took a chair to the knee, which I don't know how the guy worked it, but it worked perfect. He hit the chair right on the top bar of the brace and made a nice big loud noise. It's like, oh, awesome, perfect.
Yeah.
So I was out of it except for coming in, you know, running in to try to save the day or help out. in, you know, the end of the match, but which you had to work by yourself.
Remember when we had the first Slamathon, though? I thought that was in...
That was before.
That was before,
yep.
huh?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Because that was
2018.
Nope.
17?
Either 16 or 17. I think it was 17.
And I thought it was 8. No, maybe 18 year.
Is
I think
when
you're
I blew
right.
the knee out.
Here's how I know that it was around that area is because while I was in the parking lot pulling up, I was making a deal on a motorcycle. And it was a 2017, I think.
Yep.
So it had to probably be a 17. Well, okay. Well, anyway, it doesn't
had
matter.
To be 17 because I think I remember the picture of
what year
us.
Was Butterfest?
Butterfest was the summer of 18 before, so it was early.
Oh, okay.
It was early 18 because I blew it June 12th.
So then you came in, ran, and tried to help me at the second Slamathon. It would have been, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay, got you. Okay, that makes sense because I do kind of remember that.
Yep, because I remember that. Thinking back, remembering the picture of us standing outside at Champions in the locker room, the show is much better, you know, much put together much better now than, you know, the first one trying to be thrown together by me and Livewire. So I remember the picture of us standing outside with Gilbert and with Mongo.
And we're going to get that.
And I had the, you know, the silicone black ring. No, I didn't because we weren't married yet. But nonetheless, I remember that it was that summer.
Yeah, you were
married
in, what, November of 17?
Yep. So it was after that, but I was very tan, and getting married was the reason why, because normally I'm more pasty like this.
So. Classic. Okay, so now that brings us on to your shirt, which is Mongo, which is who?
So Steve Mongo McMichael was an absolute monster, newly anointed Hall of Famer, waited way too long. He was drafted, I think he was drafted by the Patriots and maybe spent some time with Dallas.
Okay.
And they both kind of, you know, wrote him off. It's like, he's nothing. He can't do this. He was a Longhorn, went to University of Texas, ended up with the Bears. Absolute monster. He had, I think, just shy of 100 sacks in his career, which for an interior defensive lineman, not a defensive end coming off the edge, interior defensive lineman is quite high numbers, especially for that time and for all the guys he played with.
Yeah.
It's widely, by people who are close to the situation, it's widely thought that he had to wait so long because everybody around him was so good. He had, you know, Hall of Famers on either side of him, behind him, everywhere. So we're talking like Mike Singletary, Dan Hampton, Wilbur Marshall, all these guys from the 85 Bears, that monster defense. And he's still fighting, MS, I believe? No, ALS, my bad. Still fighting ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. It's horrible to see pictures of him now because, you know, even from the short time that we knew him, you know, just absolute monster of a man. Sweetheart, but monster of a man.
It is crazy to see what he looks like now compared to when I first met him like two times. I think it was when I met him in 17 and 18, I believe it was. He was there for
maybe,
both of those years, I think.
Maybe even one of the later shows, because he did show up. He was when
maybe
they were out in the tent.
Was.
You guys saw him again with X-Pac.
Right. That would have been the summer of 19, just before COVID, when I wrestled Ken
something
Anderson
like
the next night. Okay, so yeah, that's right. He was there, and it's just crazy to see what he looks like now. I mean, it's just how that disease gets to someone.
Right, and he's okay. You know, absolutely wasting away, but you know. And it's awesome that he was alive to see his induction, but I feel like we were all robbed of actually hearing him give his speech.
Right.
Because that's kind of where I first fell in love with him was, you know, listening to ESPN Chicago all day long. He would come on with the guys there. He would always do the pregame shows for the Bears. And I could listen to him talk for hours, just something about the Texas drawl and the, oh, yeah, baby, and, you know, that kind of thing. Just, I love it. I listened to him talk forever. So we had, you know, dating Danielle, her and her family's involvement with Gilbert Brown and running the Gilbert Brown Foundation. Gilbert and Mongo played together when Mongo said, "Oh, I'm just taking the Packers' money" at the end of his career, which you know is funny for us. Gilbert had always been a fan of wrestling. He when Reggie White wrestled Mongo, I want to say
I can't remember.
Slam. What's the WCW one at the beach?
Slam. Bash of the Beach.
Bash of the Beach. I'm pretty sure that's
what Reggie White was on that one.
I think it was that one.
I think it was Bash at the Beach. Cool. I looked it up one time. I'll probably look it up again now.
That's okay. But, you'll tell us next week.
But Gilbert actually came out during that match and distracted, so Reggie get the win.
Oh, I gotta check that out now.
Yep. So Gilbert had always liked wrestling, and so here come he'd always talked about trying to get a wrestling show at Champions, and it never quite worked. Never had the connections. So enter dummy boyfriend wrestler. It's like, oh yeah, I know some people. We can throw together a show.
Dummy boyfriend wrestler.
Well, I mean, would you describe me any differently? Yeah. I mean, maybe some a little bit nicer words, but I feel like it fits for the given situation.
You can call yourself King David, but whatever.
Yeah, that too. Whatever it takes. But
so idiot altar boy.
Yeah. shout out was Keith and Chris and Kyle.
We'll get to
that.
We'll get there.
But yeah, so we had the first show, and Gilbert called in favorite of Mongo, and Mongo was there, and awesome, got to meet him. That's great. So
where was he living before that? What was he in Chicago or was he somewhere else? Was he nearby?
I know I'm pretty sure he's in Florida now.
Okay.
But I'm not sure where he was at the time.
Okay. Yeah, it was really cool how that all kind of came together, and it was a fun time, and it was just kind of, you're kind of in awe because you're like, man, these guys are like Super Bowl champion guys, and you're just like,
both of them.
This is nuts. But it's fun, and yes, Mongo, for those who don't know, he was in WCW for a while. And then he did, I think, commentating as well.
Yeah, he did. So there, I got a story for that, too. That's one of the stories he told us. At that first show, I don't know if you were there for it or not, but I was listening because I was soaking up every word and just loving it. He said he was working a match with a guy, and he's like, I was kind of getting sick. I'm not going to try to do his accent because I won't do justice. It's like, I was kind of getting sick of, working every night, and the travel is one thing, and it's, fun on the road, but I'm sick of wrestling every night. And just, I want to do commentary stuff. My body's getting older. I can't really do it anymore. So this will tie into just how much of a monster he was. Real quick, he got his nickname Mongo from, I lost his name, Ryan, Buddy Ryan, who was the defensive coordinator for the 85 Bears. Mongo got so pissed off at some offensive player during practice, he knocked the guy down, stepped on his chest, ripped off the guy's face mask, off of his helmet. And Buddy Ryan goes, "Whoa, Mongo," tying to Blazing Saddles.
Oh,
okay. Classic comedy, Mel Brooks comedy from... not to hurt people's feelings way back when. So he's telling us this story and getting sick of working. He's like, I'm working this guy. I don't even think he remembered who it was. He's like, I'm working this guy outside and I'm roughing him up. I'm like, hey, I'm going to stand you up against the ring post. When I swing, duck. He's like, what do you mean duck? You're going to hit your arm? He's like, yeah, I know. Just duck. He's like, all right. So I put him up against the ring post and I swing and I wrap my arm around the ring post, snap my arm in half so I can go do commentary.
Oh,
it's like, Jesus Christ, what the hell is, like, wow. The mindset of a person like that? Like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just going to break my arm so I can go sit down and talk.
Perfect.
It's like, good Lord.
Well, he probably had all that traveling with football and all that.
Yeah.
And wrestling's even worse on the traveling, as far as I know. But yeah, that's crazy. Let's get into wrestling then, huh?
Into wrestling.
Let's get into wrestling. Since we're talking about it, you and me, we went to Atlanta.
We did go to Atlanta.
That's interesting.
Yep. We had a little bit more of our start in was it Butchie Todd Peterson's cornfield or front yard or something
like that? Yeah, it was. One time I was.
Shout out to Butchie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's passed away too since. Huh? I remember that one time. This was before you were doing it. We literally set up a ring.
Yep.
This is with.
I remember the story.
Yeah. And it was in someone's yard, and one of the guys is tilling the backyard while there's wrestling training going on. Mountain Man Mike. Yeah. Yep. And you wrestled him, didn't you, once?
I didn't.
No.
I didn't work him. Dirty Ernie, I worked. Yep. Dirty Ernie, I worked.
What?
I set him up for the May the Power of Christ Compels You swinging crucifix neck breaker, and he screwed it up. He's just stumbling old man and fell down. Still love the guy. He's a great guy.
So yeah, we moved down to Atlanta and we started training there for wrestling with Curtis Hughes, which that was he's another WWF guy, WCW guy, every ECW guy too. That was fun times, and that's where this whole, you guys are probably maybe wondering if you're listening.
I was going to bring my Mom Squad shirt and I forgot. Dang
it. Okay, Mom Squad. We'll get to that. So yeah, we trained under Curtis Hughes for
a
while.
Total Protection.
You were there for about a year. I was there for about 2 years, and then we started doing some Mom Squad, which is Monsters of the Midwest.
Yes, sir.
Which is kind of a playoff of Monsters of the Midway, which would be the Bears.
Yep.
And so we're just a mom squad.
Which Hughes did stumble with a couple times. Monsters of the Midwest.
That ain't it.
Is everybody having a good time?
Big time.
Big time body slam. So yeah, anyways, we were we had a tag team. We used to wrestle each other.
Feels good on the goozy pipe.
Yeah. But I can remember, so training and all that aside, we come back to Minnesota, we sell out the Black Horse, sell out, quote unquote.
Standing room only.
Standing room only. People are watching, making beer towers, which is amazing.
Yep.
So back in, what was it, like 15 or 16, we had two matches against each other. But I was just telling someone the other day, I'm like,
well, don't skip our tryout match for, was it not ECW, what was the one that LiveWire ran? The one that was in Gary, Indiana. I slipped. We both slipped on each other. I ended up with like some mashed in ribs, but I dumped you out of the ring because I couldn't get my balance.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
That's first day I met Steph and was like, hey, nice to meet you. Let's go to Gary, Indiana together. Here we go.
That's right. And we went to a church and you were King David.
I was,
which was hilarious. And the pastor thought it was amazing that you were the bad guy as King David.
In a church.
And yes, you went to pick me up to do Alabama Slam.
Yep.
And you lost your footing and we both fall out the ring.
Nope, didn't lose the footing. I couldn't pull you back because this was after the standing sexual position. And I went to post.
Standing sexual position?
Well, you called it the standing 69.
Where you
drop back and you do knees to the chest. I tried to post on your legs, but I got between your boots and your knee pads.
Right.
And so my hand slipped and I took your knee right to my ribs.
I think I bruised your ribs.
It was like out of place or something. Because later, a couple weeks later, and you didn't break them. A couple weeks later, I stretched like this and I felt it pop back in.
Oh, perfect. But,
so I couldn't.
And then all was good.
Right. I went to pick you up. And I couldn't pull on this side, so I picked you up. I'm all, arrogant douchebag, like, oh, yeah. And I'm sure whoever could see my face, you go from this to like, because I couldn't catch you. I couldn't bring you back. And we're right by the ring, the ropes, and you kind of tumble out, and I'm in the ring.
God, and I still have that on video.
And somebody was like, oh, it was just, it was great when you went and you dumped him out of the ring. I'm like, yeah, glad you liked it.
I didn't know what to do. I'm starting to die. Your back went like this.
I was like, oh my God, I went onto the ropes. You went over just like, oh.
I went over. You went through the middle rope and your back went back. Uh-huh. Like, Holy cow.
It was not good.
Well, anyways.
Not planned at all.
That was not planned at all. But anyways, the funniest part about all, not the funniest part, the best part about all this is when we had those two matches, the Black Horse, we had the King David versus the Deal or Chris Steele, the Real Deal, whatever, part one. And then we had part two. Part one was amazing, though, because I was just telling someone a couple days ago, they were talking about wrestling. I go, hey, you remember how, like, back in the day, Hulk Hogan, he had, like, what, a couple moves, punch, leg drop, scoop slam. That was all it was.
Yep.
But it told a story.
Yep.
Okay, so going off of that, the beginning of our match was, like, we went 30 minutes on both of these minimum.
Oh, at least,
But the beginning of the match was
Hughes
a little
would not have been happy. We threw the time limit right out the door.
No, but they didn't care.
Right.
The audience was so invested in this, and here's why. Because at the beginning of the match, we did our normal training stuff that you were used to. But then about
halfway
through.
Saw how high I could reach and how high you couldn't.
That's right. Because I'm 5'10", and you're like 6'2".
Something like that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the inch.
Oh, you're only 6'1"? Okay. Something like that. So you're not that much taller. Well, anyways, though, the second half of that match, though, was literally all old school wrestling moves but you have to know who the hell your audience is. And
exactly.
That's what mattered because, I did the stunner.
You did the stunner. So don't sell it short. You did the stunner after one of the future altar boys is up in the balcony, Chris Apps. I stand up on the turnbuckle. I talk to him beforehand. He throws me a beer, holy water or whatever. I drink it and start chugging. I get about like half of it gone. I'm like, oh my God, this is taking forever. Whatever, I'm done. Get down, turn around. Then your stunner.
And then the beer bath
and flinging the can and all that stuff.
But see, something as simple as that, what the audience could relate to, they loved it. And remember, you did the leg drop.
Yep,
and
I did
all
the
that.
I did the looking around for the Hulkamaniacs, the leg drop. Yep.
But everyone got so invested with that.
Right.
That's how we had them. And, at the beginning of the match, nobody really cared about the first 10 to 15 minutes. It was the last 15 minutes that everyone cared about because we pulled out things that they could relate to. Because in Winona here, everyone's I would say, an old school wrestling fan from the 80s and 90s at best.
They know their history.
They know their history, yes. They don't know the new stuff. So we could have done backflips and this, that, and the other thing, but nobody would have related.
I couldn't do a backflip.
Well, neither could I. But nobody would have related to that at all.
Right.
And so then we do these things, and everyone's just going crazy. Yep. And then one of them, we did the fake out where you hurt your ankle.
We pulled the Axl Ross.
We pulled the Axl Ross, yep. And that was awesome. Actually, I think it was a Shawn Michaels thing originally.
He might have stolen it from him.
Well, most likely. But anyways, we had everyone believing that, except for my dad, who says, I was all in belief until you guys started yelling.
The ice came out real quick.
The ice came out real quick. I'm like, all right, well. Yeah.
We even had the guys in the back. They're like, oh, my God, you had me with that.
Yeah. And then it came, and you super kicked me, and we had the whole rest of the match. But that's how you tell a story. Yep. And then the next one, you had the Altar Boys, which was a lumberjack match, which was fantastic.
It was awesome. Started great.
I jump off the balcony.
There we go.
Still talked about to this day.
Chris Apps, get the hand up, get the slice. Oh, attaboy.
Gosh.
The team.
Dude, he was bleeding.
And he's
everywhere.
So, like, you can tell Chris is, and I think, did you do the Mr. Winona Senior High School?
Mm-hmm.
So Chris did it when he was in high school.
Oh, really?
I believe. And I believe I'm pretty sure I talked to him about this, and he said he did it, and he and one of his buddies did their own wrestling stuff for their, like, their talent or their whatever it was, their entertainment stuff. And so, like, Chris is a wrestling fan, very much so. He's very, you know, at least at that point, I don't know if, you know, life, whatever. But he sold it so well. Because I remember, like, looking through, you know, up here, looking around, and you can see him on videos and the video clips. And he touches and he sees, and he gets up and he's showing his face to everybody, wide eye. It's all, yep. Like a crafty veteran. He's like, oh, I got some color. Let's show it off. Let's go.
Dude, that was, it was great because we had to play off of, I mean, I'm like, well, you got your guys with you. I have to take all these guys down somehow. I'm like, perfect time to jump off a balcony.
Got no attention from our family and friends in the front row.
Nope.
Nothing.
Everyone go back and watch King David versus Chris Steele Part 2 on YouTube, and you'll watch them sitting on their hands basically the whole time. Like,
we can see.
This is what they normally do.
No, we can see for sure Brett, I think Marcus.
Oh! Brett's up like this with his drink in his hand.
But I think my brother Marcus and his wife Alex and maybe some other people, they're just like, yep, we know.
Seen this before.
These guys aren't special.
No, well, Steph will always say, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. I go,
she's just in shock.
Yeah, it's just in shock.
Because amazing.
To be honest with you, actually, fun fact, I was like, when I told you this, though, I said, well, here's the backup plan because I'm not too fond of heights. So if I chicken out on this, here's the backup plan. You guys are gonna start walking up the stairs of the Black Horse. I'll beat all of you up, and then I'll come down, and it'll just be you and me one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
And I go, that's a great plan too. So I'm like, well, either one's gonna happen. So I didn't tell you, Steph, because I didn't know if I was gonna do it or not.
I think we told your dad, and your dad's like, no, don't do it. It's stupid. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
It was stupid. Yes.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, it was. But you know, and I distinctly remember, like, we told everybody the plan. We told everybody how to catch. So sorry, I got to go back to you, Chris. How you're handed up here, like, you know, up here like this. That's on you, brother. But like, we're all I get out, and I can't remember if you were the champion, so you're coming out later, and your music hit, and we're like, I'm in the ring by myself, and I'm looking around, like, oh, I don't know. So I call them all in. And they're all surrounding me in the middle of the ring. And, like, I'm trying to kind of guide them.
Oh, no, my music did not come on.
It didn't come
on. What happened was you did something to me, and I started crawling away, and you couldn't find me because we're at the Black Horse Bar. And I was going up the stairs.
Got it.
And you're like, I don't know where it is. Get in here, everyone. And it was awesome.
And we're all standing in the middle of the ring. I'm like, guys, I don't know how far he's going to jump. We got to get closer to the ropes. And so, on the videos, you can see me arms around all four guys just trying to push this way. I'm like, get closer. I don't want him to Owen Hart himself on the ropes. Sorry, that's a little insensitive. But I don't want him to catch himself on the ropes. If it's going to be tight, we need to be able to bring him in. But no, you made it. You were chest high, and everybody hit perfect except for Chris, who, you know, whatever.
You know what else, though? Keith said that he was knocked out for a moment.
Oh, was he?
That's what he said.
He might have just been drunk. Sorry, in those days, Keith. Sorry, buddy. Love you too, brother.
Keith would love that. He should be here discussing this right now.
It could be.
Oh, man. Yes,
Breeza. That was the other one I forgot. Breeza, Kyle, Keith, and Chris.
Carl.
Carl, yes. I'm sorry.
Not Kyle.
I'm sorry. Not Kyle. Carl.
Kyle. Kyle. Carl.
I saw a Kyle Feltus, so squirrel brain. My bad. So, yeah.
Squirrel Feltus.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. But, okay, so matches, like, that was pretty high intense. But our storylines on those, everyone was involved in, they understood it. The best part, though, is a lot of people knew who we were.
Exactly.
But we didn't have to do a whole hell of a lot. Like, we were doing old school moves, but we had people invested in certain things. And we, like, brought out, like, a chair. But you don't have to, like, beat each other with a chair. Had the Bible. The Bible too. Yep. Remember, you hit yourself on the head with it. Yeah. Oh man!
Well, oh. That's you know, you speak to, that was our move set when we were, you know, Mom Squad in Atlanta though too. As we're like, you know, we've got some high flyers here that can do crazy stuff. We can't do that.
Nope.
Let's take old school original moves and let's put a little twist on them. So like the bear breaker, and you'd get the guy in a bear hug, and I'd come behind him, do the neck breaker, you know, off the ropes.
Yeah, that's right.
All sorts of different, you know, there's another one where you'd hold him and do the big boot, and we just little tweaks to things to make, oh, that looks different and catch your eye.
I still like our comeback, which was shoot them into the ropes. You're standing in the other side. Yep, I go the monster's ball. Yeah, yep. And I would run. You'd be in the other corner.
Post it up in the corner,
and then I would run, monkey flip you onto your feet, and you would slam into them.
Big old clothesline.
And then what did I do after that?
Then we would set them up for.
I think I did a splash or something after that.
You might have done a splash. That could be. Yep. And then we'd set them up for the finish.
Nice.
Yep. And I of course have lost the name now, but it was Beer Money's finish from TNA.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I can't remember what we called it though.
I don't know. It's been like 10 years.
Midwest Massacre.
Oh yes, there you go.
So I pick them up in a suplex, dump their legs over to you. You catch them, so they're essentially taking a suplex and a power bomb at the same time. Yep. Hit that, roll them over. I'd Steiner recliner the front side, and you'd Walls of Jericho the legs.
Yeah, that's right.
And we'd literally pick them up off the ground.
And they would tip. Yeah, that was.
Hell yeah, awesome.
And that didn't take us doing backflips or front flips or anything.
Just the
are
monkey
they?
Flip.
Just the monkey's flip. Which now, if we had to get back into it, you'd have to monkey flip me probably because of your knee.
I feel like I could probably do it, but I would be nervous, so maybe.
Then you have the monkey flip me. All you do is roll down your back, and I just boop.
There we go.
But Steph always said that her favorite outfit of ours were when we had those, like, old 90s, like, muscle pants. Yeah, those Zuba muscle pants, they call them. So, yeah, those were good times.
Yep. Well, yeah, because I meant, you know, she spent so much time sewing on the letters and everything.
Sex appeal. The sex appeal, Chris Steele.
And I always remember when I tried to do the Road Dogg intro when he did him and DX, and I did it in Atlanta, and I forgot how it started, and I just, like, I'm looking around, I'm trying to kill time, like, oh yeah, the fans are cheering all the whole time. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to say? How do we start this? You're like, did you forget what you're supposed to say? I'm like, yeah, hold on. And then they cut it from the damn video.
That's right. Oh, remember those 480p videos or 360p videos? Those are not great. Remember we'd use my camera down there?
Yep.
We were using my camera.
Yep. He's like, but Harper loves those. She sees those. Where are you? Where's Chris? Where's here's there. And she loves it.
Oh, that's good then. Yeah, well, we made some impact around here for wrestling for sure. I was just going to say something to you. I forgot what it was about wrestling too. I don't remember.
Atlanta here.
Well, I mean,
us, or somebody else.
No, I don't know. Well, remember the time you almost got beat up by J.J. Watt?
Beat up by J.J. Watt? Oh, that's not wrestling involved. That's
no, but it's
that's
so
my
hilarious.
Birthday involved. That was funny. No, I didn't get beat up by J.J. Watt. The guy claiming to be J.J. Watt slapped the taste out of that guy's mouth.
And remember he wanted to beat you up,
that
though?
Guy. Yeah, the guy that took the knife out of my pocket.
Fake J.J. Watt?
Yeah. No, it wasn't J.J. Watt that was the problem. It was the little guy.
Because
when we walked in, God, you walked in first. I walked in second. We walked past this guy that was, probably chest height, something like that. And your dad walked in third. And he later told us that, like,
dad's there too.
Right. I'm on my 21st birthday. So what I'm doing on my 21st birthday, December 30th of, 2009?
Something like that, yeah.
We're going to Brothers. Chris, Rich, and me. And so you walk in, I walk in past this, the little guy, later said, like, he just glared at both of us when we walked in, and neither one of us noticed because we're like, whatever, who cares? But he was like up on a bar, and he slapped the J.J. Watt guy. Guy's claiming he's J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
It's like, dude, not even close. But then later he came, he comes and he sits down between us, and he's talking all kinds of stuff. And, oh, yeah, let's do shots. Okay, fine. You want to buy shots? Let's buy shots. Shots come. We drink them. Bartender's like, all right, I need this much money. And we're like, well, you said you were going to buy us shots.
That's right. He said he was going to buy us. And then he flaked out.
Yep. And
I skipped the part. So working in warehouses and stuff, like I've carried a just pocket knife in my back pocket forever. For this reason, I now carry ones that sit deep in the pocket so nothing's sticking out. Because back then, I didn't. So when he comes to sit between us, I feel him pull my knife out of my pocket when he walks past me in between us. So wants to buy his shots, doesn't want to pay for him. He like fine or whatever, I'll pay for him. Pulls out, you know, a bunch of, you know, loose cash out of his pocket, drops a single on the floor. I kind of bend down to try to pick it up. He tries to push me over. I rocked off of my back or off of my bar stool. I stand up in front of him. You stand up behind him. Your dad said his friend starts walking down from behind him. Because it's like, oh, crap, he's going to get himself in trouble again.
That's right.
And your dad says to his friend, you better get your buddy out of here. This guy's fucking crazy, talking about me. Which, to be fair, in my younger days, there were, you know, going back to the two first names thing, my college coach, through the 4 years I was with him, I told him, just pick one name. Don't care which one it is. Dave, Todd, David, whatever. Pick one. I'll answer.
Just pick one, dude.
To the very last day, even to when I came back for alumni games, he's calling me Todd, David, David, Todd, all together.
The whole thing.
So in college, I had the nickname TD for Todd David because it's backward from Dave Todd. So every now and then I would have some TD nights that could have easily turned into a TD night. So
yeah, that guy was a little weasel, and fake JJ Watt was there. Uh-huh. We almost met the real one, but he's the fake one.
Yeah, almost, not quite. But then we ended up, his buddy took him away, and we got all his cash, paid for the shots, and got a couple more drinks.
I still have the cup from that night, too.
So do I.
Yeah, it's like my midnight water cup if I ever need some water.
Oh, nice. I think mine's in a cupboard somewhere.
Well, hey, while we're here, I think it's time for our brewski shot.
Okay, we can do that.
You said, hey, let's do some brewski shots, and I picked us up some old smoky moonshine.
I am definitely old and, you know, not so much smoky, but.
It's called the Hunch Punch Lightning.
Okay.
Which I don't know what that is.
That works.
We're both going to try this for the first time.
Thank you for brewski, or for the brewski, Justin. Appreciate it.
That brewski shot. The old shot board.
There we go. Oh, boy. All right.
Just I don't know you might have to only do some of it.
Hopefully you know the whole thing. All right.
I guess they really are shooters.
I guess.
Okay, the Hunch Punch.
This is not a shoot, though. Or is this? Technically, I guess this is a shoot.
This is a shoot. I'll move your mic so we don't. All right. For those who are watching, you've seen the brewski shot. For those who are new listeners, you're just first seeing this. And we are going to shoot this bad boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
That's a little sharp, but it's not too bad.
A little sharp?
Sharp. Sharp. With a P. Popping my P's into the mic. And,
oh, God.
On a preacher curl.
Not a preacher curl. Not a layup. It's a lay down.
I actually saw a video on that game a little bit ago.
Gosh.
So I'm getting pissed off about that one. Which
Oh, what the hell? Did we get that far?
Right. You know, pick it up. You're the brewski veteran. Let's figure it out.
Not on that one. I thought that was going to be an easy one. That was terrible.
That was not nearly as fruity as I expected it to be, but I mean, you know, the moonshine.
That was like having fire, like a rum punch with fire attached to it.
That happened. Not too bad. It does say Hunch Punch Lightning, well, so maybe it worked.
I got the lightning portion.
Was it eat thunder and crap lightning? throwback to Rocky?
Something like that from Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
There you go.
All right. Well, anyways, so let's get into the last portion of our podcast.
Okay.
I think this is this a good one, part. Yeah. What's that?
I said this one anyhow.
Yeah, at least this
one. We got a lot more to talk about.
You can always come back for part two. Everyone does. Well, people say they want to, but let's get into fatherhood. How's that going? Because you're into another part of your life now. And,
that is, yeah. Yeah, that definitely has its ups and downs. I was reminded of some of the downs on the way here as I'm almost falling asleep on the drive here.
just tired?
Yeah, just tired in general. I mean, so she's, you know, we've gotten through... Obviously, she's five and a half. So we've gotten through, obviously, the stage of, you know, waking up and crying in the middle of the night because she's a baby. She's, you know, in a big girl bed, all that fun stuff. So we've gotten to the point now where she's waking up 3-4 o'clock hour because of bad dream, you know, whatever it might be.
Sure.
But she will come into our room, and because I am blessed enough to now, as a father, I can fall asleep like that. my entire life prior to her, I could not sleep for my life. I mean, hours of just laying awake. So she will, you know, come in three, four o'clock hour, something like that. I'll end up just getting up with her because, you know, once Danielle's awake, it, you know, it's a nightmare for her trying to get back to sleep. So I will go back, you know, lay down with Harper. We'll both fall asleep, you know, as soon as our head hits the pillow. But it's still an interruption. It's still, so that's, you know, we have the forever tired of being a parent.
Forever tired parent.
Forever tired. Not forever 21. Not certainly forever. Not even close.
Not retired.
Not that either. But no, she's, you know, I had always heard that it's, you know, it's a different kind of love. It's, you don't understand it until you have it. You know, it's something that you have to experience to actually really understand it.
Sure.
And I was like, oh no, I know. You know, I love, you know, I love strong. I love heavy. You know, my girlfriend's now, you know, my wife, sorry, there were girls before you. Sorry.
There were, I was there.
Yeah. For a few of them, and told me to get rid of at least one of them too. That was the prior endeavor.
That's true. I was always very blunt.
Yeah, very much so. Always looking out.
Probably how I am as a parent too someday here.
Always looking out. Well, that's how you are as a teacher. So, you know, it serves you well.
That is true.
It serves you well.
Okay. Before you go on, I just had to have a parent visit because we had to do that before the first day of school coming.
Yep.
And one of them, I can't remember which one it was. They go, yeah, our kid just said, just told the kid to just shut your mouth and be quiet. And that was that. And they go, that, and they remember that. And it worked.
Kind of like Grandpa Gray. Hurry the hell up in there.
Well, you know.
Shut your damn mouth.
But some kids need that.
Yep.
And I was the kid, like, if you were my coach, I wanted you to ream me out and be blunt with me. I didn't want you to go, well, Chris, you know, you did this really well. You did that really well. But here's what you need to work on. No, I want you to tell me what the hell I need to do and then cuss me out or whatever it was.
Yep.
And I'm going to, and then my mind set was always, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong now. Yep. And then that was where my mindset was. So that you're right that I will probably be like that. So go
on. Agreed. Yeah. The Oreo coaching or, you know, the good, bad, good, you know, it works with some kids, but I'm, you know, very, very much the same. Like my dad, you know, my dad, awesome guy, you know, obviously my hero. I've always been the guy who wanted to grow up to be like my dad. He was a yeller for whatever reason, you know, his childhood, you know, whatever it might be.
Yep.
He was a yeller. So coach is yelling at me. It's like, it's not, I'm not going to go in a corner and cry. I'm going to be like, okay, I need to do better.
Sure.
Because a lot of times it's, you're being yelled at because they think you're better than that. They expect more from you. They know you're better than what you're doing. I need you to produce more or less.
Okay. I get it.
So once you actually get to parenting,
that's what my next question was. So how's that going, by the way?
I'm a little bit of both. I spent my whole life thinking I'm going to be, you know, again, be just like dad, be big, mean, scary. I've done my best to, you know, be as much like him as I can. You know, he was me, but a little bit bigger in my eyes, a lot bigger, but by the measurement, a little bit bigger and a heck of a lot scarier to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have a girl.
So your girl, and dad.
Anybody who's got a daughter, you know, wrapped around that finger in a heartbeat. The second, you know, it was C-section. The second she comes out, I see her little face. The very first, she's 2 minutes old, and the very first picture of her, she has attitude eyebrows. Like, why the hell did you guys take
still
me out of here?
That, by the way, 5 years later.
Yeah, exactly. Still you know, it. You know exactly how it is.
I know.
She's like, why did you guys take me out of there? I was warm. I was comfortable. I was happy. I don't want to be out here. It's cold. It's bright. And, you know, it is very much built since then. But again, the polar opposites, you know, dilemmas of parenthood, she can be a turd all day long. And at the end of the day, she'll flash those big blue eyes and big long lashes. And, oh, I love you, daddy. And I melt again. It's like, God damn it. That's cheating. That's not fair. Like,
it's cheating and it's not fair.
Exactly.
Now, do you think if you had a boy, it'd be different?
I think it would. And I know, you know, we're the hope. The original thought was that the first one would be a boy. Everybody kind of, for the most part, everybody except for Danielle's mom was dead set that it's a girl. Both Danielle and I were like, yeah, it's probably going to be a boy. And so girl surprise, you know, whatever, wouldn't, you know, would not trade it for the world. But I think it would still be a good balance because he would be named after my dad. So my late father died suddenly in 04. So he'd be named after, you know, after my dad. And so I've actually thought about that. Like, would I, because of, you know, that's something it will never not be with me. It's, you know, I think about him every single day. It's always something that's there. Would I baby him too much, or would I still be able to be as loving as, you know, as a kid needs, you know, a parent to be, but be as firm and as tough as particularly a boy needs when he's grown up, you know, and say what you want about, you know, norms of boys, girls, gender, you know, whatever it may be. I know I have seen, and I'm sure you have seen, like, there's still a difference between how girls are treated, how boys are treated. I saw it as far back as elementary school. I saw it. So I think I would still be able to be that big, mean, scary as I need to be. But I know I would also, you know, you always try to take what your parents were, but try to build on that and be better. And that's what every parent wants for their kid. I want you to be better than me. And I know that's what he wanted for me. And I know that's what my mom wants for us. You know, dad, you know, for me and Marks and Michael.
Yeah.
I want you to be better. So I feel like, you know, he didn't have the greatest childhood. I mean, to my knowledge, there wasn't anything horrible, but there was some stuff to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a fighter through school. One of my favorite stories of him, that's probably not the greatest story, but as far as like behave kind of stuff.
That's okay. Talk about it. It's a good talk about
it. So I believe at the time, my grandpa, so his dad was the principal at his school, and this is in the Chicago area.
His dad was the principal?
Yep.
Interesting.
So this is in the Chicago area, and of course, many times people don't have the greatest things to say about principals. So the way he tells the story is some kid came up to him and says, oh, my dad says your dad's this and this and this and this and this. And so I popped him in the mouth, stood over top of him and said, take your fucking teeth to your dad. I was like, yeah.
Classic.
That being said, I have never actually thrown a real punch at anybody. I've taken some, I've ducked some, I've caught some. I've been, you know, been on the receiving end, but I've never thrown any because the rule with him, with me, who is always, you know, I've always been big. You and I have always been, you know, bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever, 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 ever fight unless it's in self-defense. And even if it is in self-defense, you have to come home and fight me. So now, obviously, he's not going to say, you have to come home and, like, we're going to come to blows and throw fists and stuff. But, like, you're still going to be in trouble. Because his thought process was, you need to be able to use your head. You need to be able mm-hmm. to stay calm, talk your way through things, calm yourself down, calm them down, catch the punch, duck it. You know, I've had a situation in college where some guy got pissed off and I, you know, he threw a punch. I caught him, held him until other people took him off me. It's like fighting was not, I wish it wasn't that way. There are a couple people that definitely deserved, you know, at least a couple haymakers, but, you know,
I got to be honest, I've never thrown a punch either, except for at, like, the bag that's on the arcade game.
Yep.
And even then, I'm not that good at it.
Yeah, neither.
Like, I just did it about 3 weeks ago when I was in Michigan because we were at the arcade.
Yep.
And my buddy Enyo was like, let's do it. I'm like, cool.
Enyo and
Bella.
Bella.
Yeah.
I should know that.
Daniel's got, like, a cousin. I threw the first one. And I was like, okay, because it was weird to throw a punch.
Yep.
So I was like, well, give me a second try. And my second one was way better because I'm like, well, now I know how to throw a punch kind of. Because I've never had to. And like you just said, I would probably choke hold someone until they passed out and be like, okay, now take them away, please.
Pick someone up, slam them on a lunch table.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before.
More stories.
More stories when I had to throw someone at a lunch table by their collar. But I didn't throw a punch. No.
Nope.
I just let them know, hey,
I'm not happy with what you're doing right now.
I'm not happy that you won't tell me who ran on top of my car.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So tell me, why is your face red, by the way?
Uh-huh.
Because you were scared. Anyways.
And you know.
So being a dad with a girl is a little different, you think, than probably being a dad of a boy, possibly?
I think it's definitely different.
You think you're softer? Not softer.
I'm definitely softer.
Okay.
Softer. Fine. I have, like, for the most part, I've always, and it's funny, I had this discussion with one of my reports today at work. I definitely have a long fuse, but at no matter how long the fuse is, at the end of the fuse is the same thing. You always get to the bomb at the end of the fuse. So like she can push, I can put up with a lot, but eventually it gets to the point where I bark at her, yell at her, whatever, whatever it is. Eventually you get to like, daddy's out of patience.
Yeah. Well, there's a breaking point of some sort.
Yep.
As exactly. A teacher, I know that.
Yep.
And that's one thing like I've learned, and Steph always says, you're very patient. You're the most patient person I've ever been around. I'm like, well, you kind of get that way being around other people's kids too. But I also learned like, well, this is how I'm also not going to raise my kid. And this is how I will raise my kid and kind of mesh in between.
Yep.
So yeah, I get that. And then you said that if you had a boy, you name him after your dad.
Yep.
So if you had a boy, his name's going to be Owen.
Yep. His first name would be Owen.
Okay.
We said his middle name would be named after Danielle's grandpa.
So okay.
Her grandpa's name is Gary. Her dad's middle name is Gary. Her dad's first name is Todd. So that's plenty confusing with our last name, Todd.
That's right. It is. It's Todd Helverson.
Exactly. Oh, so
David, yeah, Todd Helverson.
Yep. You got it. But yeah, it would be Owen Gary. So he'd be the OG.
OG Todd.
Yeah. You got it. So, but yeah, I'm definitely softer. And I like, mom has told me that dad told her in the past that it's a good thing they didn't have a daughter, because he would do the same thing. He would melt. And you could, like, not Marcus, if you watch this, not saying you're the girl or anything like that, but the middle brother, he's the only one of us that has brown eyes. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but
are you talking about Dub C?
I am. Good. I am talking about Dub C.
I knew you were.
Another story.
We won't get into that tonight, though.
Another story. But mom said that Marcus was very quiet, but he would hit you with one-liners and a little smirk.
Yeah.
That would just, like, dad would have to, like, turn his back and laugh, because, like, I shouldn't let you know that this is funny, but damn it, yeah, it's funny.
Kids all the time in school, too, they'll say something like, oh, my gosh, that was hilarious. Uh-huh. I'm like, what? I got to say that? Oh, man. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, yeah, that's hilarious.
Yep.
So, okay, so being a girl dad is amazing, I assume.
That's awesome. I know it's cliche, and I know people say it. Like, she is the greatest thing ever. And, like, I cannot imagine loving anything more or as much. She's unbelievable.
I assume you want to have a boy, though, right? Hopefully.
I would like to have
a boy. Would like to.
I would like to.
But if you had another girl, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Just, healthy, happy, whatever it is. The plan, thought, whatever is, now that Harper's out of daycare, so there's a big chunk of money back because daycare is expensive. At some point, try again. Hopefully it's a boy and we're done.
Yep.
But if it's a girl, we're probably still done.
Sure.
We only got so many rooms in the house. And again, daycare is expensive. And,
right.
It's really going to suck going from, I guess it's not that much different for me because I'm waking up in the middle of the night anyhow. But
get that brother's cup and drink a glass of water. Exactly. So then she just went off to kindergarten this week?
Yep, had her first day of kindergarten on Wednesday.
Okay, so then she'll turn 6 in what, April is it, I believe, if that's her birthday? Yeah, somewhere in April, I know that, because we've been to the birthday parties multiple times.
Yep.
Okay, so then she's off to that, and now I'm thinking that, well, we're eventually going to have children sometime as well.
Yep.
But my question is, you've had dogs.
Yep.
You have children or a child. Is the love different from a dog to a child different? And I'm not meaning that to belittle humans by any means.
I get what you're
because
saying.
Because I've had to put down two dogs so far,
yep.
Jordan and Cooper.
Yep.
And it's like the worst thing in the world. And I'm like, I've never, because a dog, you come home and the dog just loves you.
Always happy to see you.
Always happy to see you. I can't imagine that child is, every time that you come home, she wants to, or if it was a he, they would want to be like, oh, my gosh, daddy's home. And
believe
maybe
it, or not,
it is like that. I don't know.
Believe it or not.
It's like that?
Just about every time I come home. At daycare, it's a little bit different sometimes, because sometimes I'll show up when she's coloring or when she's playing. And it's like,
you're
I wanted mom.
Fun.
Right. I wanted mom to pick me up, whatever it is. But that, and I think Luke Combs, just
Luke Combs. There we go. I guess Combs' hair.
Just came out. I don't know if he just came out with the album, but it's recently started playing on Pandora, so I'm guessing it's new. The album's called Fathers and Sons.
Mm-hmm.
And in one particular song, he talks about, you know, his son dropping whatever he's doing, screaming daddy at the top of his lungs and running through the house when he gets home. The one of the greatest joys in my life is, you know, our house, when you walk in the door, like from the garage, there's a straight line from that door all the way through the house to where the living room is on the other end of the house.
Yep.
So walking through the door, or like when I get home from the gym in the morning and she's, you know, sitting in the living room watching whatever, and the hearing the footsteps, the little, you know, footsteps pet, you know, coming through the house, just the greatest thing, and the daddy scream, and, you know, picking her up, the hug. It's it's, I get what you're saying about dogs, and I, you know, that's the one time I ever saw my dad cry was when we put down Maddie.
Yeah.
So she's, you know, she's my, they ran the test run on her, and then they're like, ah, oh, we can handle a kid. How badly could we screw him up?
He's sitting here.
Right. But, so yeah, the one time, and so, you know, I went with him. We carried her out, buried her in the backyard. So, you know, I've put down her, put down Cindy. I wasn't around for the two cats, Charlotte and Lucy. Lucy was when we were in Atlanta. Charlotte, I think, was shortly after Harper was born. But it is like comparative. You know, before Dad died, Maddie was easily the worst pain I had ever felt.
Yeah,
it just like it absolutely rips your heart out. It's something you can't, again, you like the love you feel for a child. It's something you can't explain until you feel it.
Sure.
Then Dad goes, and like I said, that was, I mean, again, looking at me, I'm, you know, somewhere in the range of 240. I'm 6'1"-ish, you know, active. Dad was a little bit taller, roughly about the same weight, played tight end at Winona State, played volleyball with your dad, with and against your dad, played softball with and against your dad, almost literally till the day he died, playing softball.
Actually, it was very close.
Right, very close. Because the stroke was, we were actually in Red Wing, playing baseball the day he had his stroke.
That's right. Yes.
I tried to get back for a practice, sometime in the middle. So he had a stroke on a Saturday, ended up passing on a Thursday, showed up for like the very end of practice. That's when we had Johnston for baseball. And then, one of the most touching things to me was the day of his service, we were scheduled to play a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At Gaybrick, which coincidentally is where we played with the Chiefs, and all you guys show up in uniform.
Yep.
And are in the back of there. It's just, you know, that's again something you can't describe the feeling until, you know, unless it happens.
Sure. Yeah. And the only feeling I can describe that is Jake runs up to me every time I come home and he wants to grab a toy. That. So it's gonna be like the same thing. Right. And so now this is the last part. I mean. Yeah, our party's coming up
for now.
Soon. But I was just going to ask.
We can lock the door and just keep him outside.
Stay outside. But did you want to speak any part on your dad at all? I mean, I don't know if that's too sensitive to the subject or not, but do you want to speak anything while we're here on your dad? I mean, we're kind of touching base on him. Like, we know that he's passed away, but anything you want to talk about? I mean,
not too sensitive of a subject at this point. It's
it's quite a while ago, yes.
Right. Well, this year, so when Harper went in for her last eye surgery, was the 20-year anniversary of him passing.
Okay.
So, you know, it's been 20 years. He'll still sneak up on me. There'll still be times where I'll tear up and, you know, or whatever. It's, like I said, it's something that never goes away.
Yep.
I think it's more fitting that he's kind of sprinkled into all this.
So far, I think every subject we've touched on so far, you've talked about your dad in some capacity.
Right. And I mean, wrestling, my dad, I distinctly remember my dad, whenever he could, watching wrestling until I started watching wrestling because he didn't want me to wrestle.
I was just going to say that. I'm like, did the guy tell you that's an idiot if you do that? You're an idiot.
Well, it's, you know,
it is what it is.
It's funny because like him and his best friend, Dave Christofferson, who I don't think I've seen since his funeral, would come down from Alexandria and play softball with him for Chuckers, I think, on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell me stories of the two of them wrestling, like in his dorm room, sure, or something like that. And, you know, they'd be watching wrestling, and, oh, we broke the coffee table, or, you know, and they, you know, told me a story of like paying dominoes in a pillowcase full of pennies. And
yeah, I broke my parents' like bed, so I understand how that goes.
Yeah,
I've broken a bed.
I've broken the handle off of an oven door. That has happened, but. Yeah, he's
oven door?
Yep. Yeah, I think that was Marcus. Either Marcus and I or Michael and I. One of the two.
Oh, my gosh.
Obviously one of the two, because it's the only two. But, you know, rough housing in the kitchen and bump into the handle of the oven door, and there it goes.
Those things happen, though.
You know, I mean, you have boys. This is what happens when you have boys. I told Danielle, you know, yeah, a boy may break physical stuff, but a girl will rip your heart out.
And,
you know, so far, you know, she's not... She's not the intentionally, what's the word I'm looking for? Intentionally mean.
By accident.
Right. There's a movie series, not Insidious. Like, I'll think of the word some other time, but like, she's not, you know, the teenage, I will never call her that, but the teenage female dog attitude. So she's not there yet, because she's still just five. She's
just
still a sweetheart.
Old female,
right?
Dog. Okay.
So, but it's like, yeah, exactly what I said. Like, she'll be like joking and say, oh, something like, not to the point where I don't like, oh, I don't love you. Not that kind of mean, but like, oh, you're something. I can't even think of an example, but it's like, all right, you're just being a turd. You don't know any better.
That's right.
But I look at like other boys her age, and it's like, oh, one of her friends ran into the propeller of her dad's boat and gashed her head open.
Ouch.
That being said, she did fall off the leg extension machine at the gym onto the diamond plated foot plate and got a gash in her forehead a couple years ago. So, I mean, she's a good mix, I guess. Well, yeah, I mean, he's definitely sprinkled into everything. Yep. He's like, I see, for whatever reason, I have this memory of his hair when he's in the hospital bed, and when it's not like really greasy, but it's kind of clumped together. Mm-hmm. And when she wakes up in the morning, her hair is kind of like clumped together in sections in a similar way. So like, yeah, there's just completely random stuff that's like, oh, sure, yeah, I see him, and oh, yeah, he's there, and it's like, yeah. And we've got pictures of him, so he knows what he looks like, or what he looked like. She knows what he looked like.
Perfect.
And you know, so yeah, he's always around. He's this for a long time. I had his necklace, his chain with, you know, my cross, my 38, and my, you know, the screw on here. But it got to the point where it's going to wear in too thin, so I took that off. But if the camera can see it, the T belt buckle that was his.
The belt buckle?
I've been wearing since, God, I think, like our senior year in high school.
That was his?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
And so you've replaced the chain since
I've replaced
was
the chain. I've replaced the chain with a cheap one that I don't care if it breaks, because, you know, like I said, it had gotten so thin. You know, it was a wedding gift from my mom, you know, on their wedding day, and it got to the point where like I would stretch and kind of, you know, whatever, and not to say I'm jacked or anything, but it would get stuck in my neck, and like that last time it broke, that's what happened.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It got
yeah,
stuck
I
when I was stretching, and there it goes. Right. Exactly. I don't want to lose it when I'm, you know, at the softball field or at, you know, wherever. So
yeah, well, that's great that you sprinkle it into all parts of your life.
Oh yeah,
with obviously Harper, with Danielle, anything else sports related, obviously. Yep. Everywhere. So is there anything else you want to add to the podcast? I mean, it's almost time for our party here. Anything
boy.
Else you want to put on there? I mean, we can always do a part two. That's no big deal.
Well, there definitely, but we didn't like, we've got,
we only touched on parts.
We got at least a decade since the last story we saw.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's funny too, because like we didn't realize it until later on, but like we've been in each other's lives like probably since close to birth.
Very close. Right. I know I have articles of us in punt, pass, and kick together as like 10 and 11 year olds ish. So
when the very first story that is in my memory and I can't remember if I've told you, but I know I told Steph, is we were I think I told you, we were playing, our parents were playing volleyball. I want to say it was at St. Stan's.
Probably.
Because it was on where, like, they've got the stage off to the side.
Yep.
And they've got, so my mom was, asking me if I wanted to come with, because it was co-ed volleyball that night. And she's like, oh, you can come along, you can play, you can hang out, Chris will be there. And I was thinking she was talking about Chris Fremling, who I went to church with, who's, I think his mom maybe played, also played volleyball, or somebody,
Possible.
For whatever reason, he was,
but still
he was
Fremling's there. Around. Fremling's
right.
Around.
The Fremlinger. So I'm like, okay, I'll go hang out with Chris for a while. Sure. I get there. It's not Chris. That Chris.
It's me, podcast Chris.
And this effing nut job is like the Matchbox Hot Wheels cars, smashing cars up, just being like all kinds of crazy, farting up a storm and giggling about it. I'm like, holy shit, I don't ever want to spend another minute with this kid for the rest of my life.
And here we are,
30 plus years later. Like, at
sounds
least,
like it was a great day for right? me.
It sounds like it was a normal day.
Dude, Matchbox cars and shit in my pants is amazing. Yeah,
exactly. I wish I could Matchbox cars and shit my pants today and everything would be fine.
See?
But,
right? Why did you do with that day 30 right. years ago?
Right. Why can't we go back to that?
But, yeah. See, I was ahead of my time. That was a problem.
Yeah, that's what it was. But yeah, I mean, we go, I was telling you before, I asked my mom, like, hey, what was the address? Because we lived in a house for about a year. She would always call it the little house on Broadway. And I don't remember it because I think I had to be like two, because we've been in the house that my mom's still in since like August of 1990. So that's my, my entire memory.
Yeah.
But we lived in that house. And then later on, your dad bought it. So I'm like, oh, what's the address? And it's 707 West Broadway. So wherever that is, I used to live there.
Okay.
And his dad used to own it. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, we've been in each other's lives forever. Dad didn't want me to wrestle. Your dad probably wasn't. I know your mom wasn't thrilled about it. My mom probably wasn't thrilled about it either.
Nope, they were
they,
not.
They did their best to keep us apart. We just can't do it.
Can't do it, man.
We keep coming back to each other.
That's right. Well, man, dude, this has been a fantastic podcast with some Captain and Coke.
Captain and Coke. More to come. Didn't
memories.
Make that much of a dent in it, so we're going to have to do this again.
Well, we got the party coming up next, so.
Nah, we'll see what happens.
Well, anyways, this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. Remember, you can always find me on YouTube if you want to watch the episode, but any major streaming platform you can listen to, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Samsung, Amazon, you name it, I'm out there. But this has been another episode of Brews and Crews, and I'm here with my buddy Dave Todd. Cheers.
Cheers.